I'm not very good at preaching them kind of sermons, you know. I'm too lazy for practice. But they're necessary. He brought some thoughts to my mind, though, that made me think of some of my experiences of 91 years. I married in 1927, young, and my wife was young. And I told her, I said, "Honey, I was raised on the farm. All I want you to do is look pretty for me. I'll do the work." But you know it never turned out like that. She was a person that easy going, good temper. I remember coming in from the field we were farming in, and everything had gone wrong, and I come in fussing. She didn't say nothing when I hushed, so I fussed a little more. She still didn't say nothing. I said, "Mary, why don't you say something?" She said, "You said enough." That ended it right there. Time to speak and time to keep silent. I've had a good life. When I think of how good God has been to me, how good His people have been to me, how good my neighbors have been to me, I have nothing to complain about. I have a son-in-law. He just had surgery. He's a pretty good fellow, but he'll bear improvement. And he's, I thought, got along mighty well. But on the side of his neck, there, and he, "Why me? Why me?" But here I am in your place, and you put me in the very choicest, most honorable spot. Why me? That's the way I feel about it. You know, as Brother Abernathy was talking about this, I thought about another experience. I worked with Alabama Power Company, and I was a company man. You know the difference in the company man and the union man. When they had a strike, I had to work. A boy with a man by the name of Jack Willis was on the picket line, and he said, told some of his friends, "I'm going to lay out over here and give Charlie Tucker a whipping. He's working. He ought to be off for that job." I stopped out there where he was, and I said, "Jack, tell me you're going to whip me." "I might do it." I said, "Let me know when you're going to do it, and you won't be able to do it." He said, "What are you going to do about it?" I said, "I'm going another route." And I meant that. Had another little instance where I was going down. I had some land down in the country, some tenants on it. The road wasn't paved at that time. It was raining. I pulled off from this fellow, Thomas Mims. He pulled in behind me, blowing his horn, splattering mud everywhere, and I just paid him no attention. I went on top of the hill. Then I let him by. He went on over to his mother's house, and he stopped there, and he had a stick of stove wood in his hand, and I didn't know what he had. I didn't know he had it. I might not stop. I noticed it. But he won't know why I didn't let him by. I said, "Well, Thomas, I let you by quick because I thought it was safe. I wanted by right then." I took my pencil and my paper, and I wrote my phone number down, and I said, "Yeah, you call me next time you start anywhere, and I'll stay at home until you get there." And you know, those things, a soft answer turns away wrath, don't it? And they work. I've had so many experiences. But I thought this morning about a scripture here in the book of 1 Corinthians, where it talks about the man having short hair and the woman having long hair. But the scripture that verse I had in mind was, don't even nature teach you that if a man have short hair, it's a shame, and if a woman have short hair, vice versa. Said, does not even nature teach you that? Now, I've heard, as I've gone through life, and even old Baptists make an issue out of how somebody combed his hair, how he cut it, one thing and another. But what I say to you, if you don't like the way your neighbor fixes his hair, don't fix yours that way. Now, that's as simple as it can be. But this very verse that I've quoted to you here, it says, but if any man be contentious, we have no such customs, neither the churches of God. Well, why did he even bring it up? You know, these churches in that day were made up of both Gentiles and Jews. The Jews had customs, the Gentiles had customs, and they clung to their customs. That's why the Apostle Paul told them in the beginning of this book of Corinthians, that, as he said, some of Paul, some of Apollos, known. But, and then in the first or the second chapter, he says, but I determined to know nothing among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Now, I'm not going to go back and read all these scriptures I have on my mind, but I'm going to get a few of them, and I'm going to tell you that John the Baptist had long hair. I'm going to tell you that Jesus didn't have long hair. Now, if you'll go back, I'm going to give you the scriptures to read. Go back to Judges. Well, go back to Numbers chapter 6. And you'll find the law of a Nazarite. He was not to cut his hair during the period of time that he had a vow, man or woman. And a woman was not to cut hers. She was under that vow for a lifetime. Now, when the period of their vow was over, they were to come there, the man, to the temple, door of the temple, and he shaved his head. Now that's exactly what it's talking about. He shaved his head, he purified himself, and they burned that hair there, and he went in. Well, that is the custom of the law. But the Apostle Paul is telling them here that these things is not what it's about. In the 14th chapter of the book of Romans, you know, he talked about some observed a day, some didn't observe a day, some ate, some didn't eat. What difference? Just so they did it to the Lord. He that eateth, he eateth and giveth thanks. He that eateth not, he giveth thanks. Now, my friends, I have seen denominations established on this very thing here that is set down here. Well, you go back and you'll find out that Samson, I've got all of these scriptures here. I could go back and read every one of them, but I'm going to give them to you and let you read them. Now, Samson was a Nazarite. And he had his hair long, and when he lost that strength was when he cut that hair. Long as he was under that vow, he was not to cut his hair. Well, we can come on down to 1 Samuel 1 and 11, and we'll go back to the first of the chapter, but you'll find here that this woman, this man had two wives. The first wife had children, but Manoah, the other one, didn't have children. And she prayed that if the Lord would give her a man child. that she'd never a razor come upon his head. And he'd be dedicated to the Lord for the entirety of his life. That is, and she said he would never eat anything in the fruit of the vine. You know, go back to that, Numbers chapter 6, and you'll find that the law there of the Nazarite was he could not eat the grape, the dried grape, the wine, none of it. He couldn't eat any of that as long as he was under that vow. Well, here's Samuel here, carried down that to the temple and dedicated, and the promise was that no razor would ever come on his head, and he would never eat of the fruit of the vine. He would never eat those things. She was under that vow, and she would not. You know, as she prayed when he there at that time for this, there in the presence of Eli, and she moved her lips, but she didn't talk out loud. She spoke from her heart. Eli thought she was drunk. He thought she was drunk. But she told him what the story was, that she was under a vow here. And she had no wine, no fruit, no dried grape. Go back to that 6th chapter of Romans. Not even dried fruit. Nothing that grew of the vine were they permitted to eat. All the days of their separation. And at the end of their separation, if we had about an hour and a half, we'd go back there. At the end of that, they'd take that, go there and shave that head, the man would, and have his offering, and it tells what kind of offering for him to make. What I'm trying to get to you is here that this was a custom under the law. Well, let's just come on over then and get to the New Testament. Let's go to St. Luke chapter 1 and verse 15 and see what it says here about John the Baptist. As his father here prayed in the temple, he was of the house of Abiah, and his wife was old, and he was old, and they were childless. And there wasn't anybody to pass on this office to. But you know, the Spirit of the Lord appeared to him and told him his prayer was answered, that his wife Elizabeth would bear a son. And mind you, this is all before this son is even born. Fact of the business is, it's before he's even conceived in the womb. And his mother is too old to have children, and his father's too old to father children. Sometimes I think maybe the old Baptist is too old to have babies. Have to wait for the promised children, don't we? So here we have it, as he talks to John the Baptist, about John the Baptist. I believe I said Luke 1 and 15. I believe I'll start there. Let's get a little bit above that. When Zechariah saw him, the angel, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. Thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son. Thou shalt call his name John, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost from his mother's womb. John the Baptist was a special person. He was a Nazarite from his mother's womb. He didn't eat the fruit of the vine. He didn't drink it. None of it. But he came preaching, my friends, the gospel of the salvation by grace. And to show you something else here about this thing,
Zechariah, his father, he was up there in the temple where all of those golden altars were and all of those things were. And if John had went in there preaching what he did preach, they'd have put him to death before they did. John the Baptist went down into the wilderness and his, you know, he didn't wear that, them linen breeches, you know. Right. And then that robe and all of, he didn't have pomegranates around the tail of his coat. He didn't have golden bells down there. He had a leathern girdle and his meat was locust and wild honey. You know, I think about John's doctrine. You know, as I come over here and I rode through different towns, I saw the First Baptist Church. Next place, First Baptist Church. I thought about, if you want to find the First Baptist Church, find the church that's preaching the doctrine that John preached. That'll be simple, won't it? And John was down there, and I'm getting away from that haircut, but I just won't bring this in. And he was on the banks of Jordan, and I fully believe that he was right exactly where the people that entered into the cross Jordan back there and put those stones in that stream there as a witness that for generations to come they would be there as a witness, and they were there as a witness when John was preaching, and John said, God is able of these stones to raise up seed unto Abraham. Those same stones and the same faith that is of God that put those stones there is what John's talking about. But getting back to what I was talking about here, John didn't eat the fruit of the vine. And I said a while ago that I thought John had long hair. Maybe Jesus didn't. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11 and verse 18. I'm trying to convince you that all of this haircut and stuff was a custom under the law. You go back to that Corinthian letter where I started, and even when he gives the ordinance of the communion and what it is there, and it all are partakers of the body, and then he follows it up with not Israel of old, all partakers and so on. In other words, showing the picture here. Now let's notice here in Matthew chapter 11 and verse 18. I'm going to start above there. For all the prophets in the law prophesied until John. And if ye will receive it, this is the last which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. But whereunto shall I liken this generation? Where am I going to liken it to? Now think about what that generation was. That generation of Jews here that he came to when he said he came to his own and his own received him not. Whom will I like you to? They received him not. But to as many as did receive him, to them that gave the power to become the sons of God. Now what was that power? To them which were born not of blood, not of the blood of Abraham, and not of the blood of the Gentile, nor of man, nor of the will of man, but born of God. See how it's separated. But whereunto shall I like this generation? Like unto children sitting in the market, calling unto their fellows. We have seen, we have piped unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned unto you, and you have not lamented. For John came, neither eating nor drinking, and they say he hath a devil. He wasn't doing none of that. The Son of Man came, eating and drinking. And they said, "Behold, a gluttonous man and a publican, a wine bitter, a friend of publicans and sinners." You know, they just simply wouldn't allow a publican into this temple at all. He was a tax collector, and some of them were crooked, you know. Some of them are today. A few of them. They say he is a wine bitter and a friend of publicans and sinners. But wisdom is justified of a children. Now, my friends, this is the wisdom of God, and it's justified of our children. I think about over in the... Well, I'm getting away from this and getting using up my time. That's why I'll move back to the question of this doctrine here. And as I said in the first, if you don't like the way your neighbor fixes his hair, don't fix yours like that. Now, that's as simple as it can be. Let's go now to Acts 18 and 18. There's so much back there I had on my mind there, but it gets away from what I'm discussing. And Paul, after he tarried yet a good while, took his leave of the brethren, sailed thence into Syria, with him Priscilla and Aquila. Now you know when he went into Syria, he went into somebody besides Jews. Having shorn or shaved his head. Why? Because he had a vow. He had a vow. He'd spent this time. But now he shaved his head. He's going back to that temple. And at the door of the tabernacle, burn that hair. And make his offering. Now, Paul was preaching to the Gentiles, but yet he preached to the Jews too. And here, my friends, he's laying stress on the importance of each one tolerating the other one. Now, shaved his head in Cenchura because he had a vow. He came to Ephesus. And goes on and on and on. But I'm going to leave that now and go to 21 and 18. And I think we'll get the picture here before you. 21 and verse 18. And the day following, Paul went in with us unto James, and all the elders were present. Now he's not talking about preachers when he's talking about elders here. He's talking about the elders that they had back there under the law dispensation that had the authority here. And when he had saluted them, he declared particularly what thank God had wrought among the Gentiles by his ministry. And when they heard it, they glorified the Lord and said unto him, "Thou seest, brother, how many thousands of the Jews there are which believe, and they are all zealous of the law. They believe in Christ, but they're just zealous of the law. And they are informed of you, of thee, that thou teachest all the Jews which are among the Gentiles to forsake Moses, saying they ought not to circumcise their children, neither walk after the customs. What is it, therefore? The multitude must needs come together, for they will hear that thou art come. Do therefore this, that we say to them, we have four men which have a vow on them." Now these are Jews. "Them take and purify thyself with them, and be it charges with them, that they may shave their heads, and all may know that those things whereof they were informed concerning thee," that is Paul, "are nothing. But thou thyself also walketh orderly and keepeth the law." That's too plain to argue about it, isn't it? As touching the Gentiles which believe, we have written that and concluded that they observe no such thing, save only that they keep themselves from things offered unto idols and from blood, from things strangled, and from fornication. Then Paul took the men the next day and purified them himself with them, entered into the temple, signifying the accomplishment of the days of purification. The days when that was all over, and he shaved his head and burnt that hair until an offering should be offered for every one of them. I'm trying to not take too much time, but this was on my mind. I want you to go with me to Colossians chapter 2. And I want you to see that this apostle was the apostle to the Gentiles. But you know, when the Spirit appeared to him, said, I've called you to preach to the Gentile and to the children of Israel. You know, he had a kind of a job that maybe the others didn't have here. He was brought up under this. And you notice in the second chapter of Philippians, if any man have whereof he to glory in the flesh, that is the flesh of Abraham, I more than any, circumcised the eighth day, of the tribe of Benjamin, of the stock of Israel, touching the law blameless, persecuting the church, touching the law, but all the things which were gained to me, I count them loss, that I might win Christ, that I might know him, and the power of his resurrection being made conformable under his death. I'm determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. Now, let's go to Colossians. I'm going to try not to hold you after 12 o'clock. I'm going to start with verse 8. Let's start, 8. Chapter 2 and verse 8. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men. See, that was a tradition of men. The Apostle Peter says in 1 Peter 1 and 18, seeing that you are not redeemed with such corruptible things as silver and gold, received and things received by the tradition of the fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ. After rudiments of the world, not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the Godhead bodily. And I'm going to tell you who the body is. For in him. And you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and all power. Back in verse 16 of the first chapter, he says, all things made for by him and for him, whether they be thrones, principalities of powers, things under the earth, above the earth, things in heaven, all made by him, for him, and upheld by the word of his power. And he's the head of the body of the church. For it pleased the Father that in him all fullness would dwell. This haircut's getting out of the picture, isn't it? Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you're risen with it through the faith of the operation of God, who raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins have, and the uncircumcised in your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances. You know, circumcision, that was an ordinance. Cutting the hair a certain way was an ordinance. Eating with unwashing, with washed hands was an ordinance. But he blotted it all out. What did he do with it? Nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principality and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over him. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink. You eat grapes if you want to, and you drink the wine if you want to, and you eat the meat if you want to, and you leave it off if you want to. Wow. Or in respect of a holy day, or the new moon, or of Sabbath days. You know those feasts, Brother Abernathy, at certain times and certain moon. Just they out of the picture. Which are a shadow of things to come. But the body is of Christ. Well, I could go back to Corinthians and get, I think, a better picture, but here's one that's good enough. Verse 18 of the first chapter. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell, having made a show, made peace, through the blood of his cross by him, and to reconcile all things unto himself. By him I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated, enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh to present you holy and unblameable in his sight. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. You talked about their God is their belly, you know, and the things, all that. But our conversation is in heaven, from whence we look for the Savior Christ, who shall do what? Change our vile body, whereby he's able to, well, he might fashion it like unto him, his glorious body, whereby he's able to subdue, I'm not quoting that verbatim, but I'm getting it, all things under himself. You know, I can remember, and old Baptists have been a little bit guilty too, but we had a church to start in our community in about 1924, that you're going straight to hell if a woman she cut her hair. But even when I was growing up, the women never started cutting their hair then, till about 1924. And they called it bobbed hair, you know, and all that. But I'm going to say this, and I hope I'm not boasting. Of all these years that I've been preaching and I've hearing preaching, I have never heard that preached on before. Never heard it. Never heard it. Well, do you believe what I brought out about it? Read it out of the Bible. That was a custom under the law. You notice in the Corinthian letter, it just constantly talk about if eat things that's set before you and don't have no question. What if they eat it titles, you know? It's a constant thing there. Though that early church was Jews and Gentiles, and each one wanted to cling to their customs. And Jews burned their sacrifice, and Gentiles ate theirs. The Jews observed the Sabbath day and the Gentiles didn't. And all of those things. He said, let no man judge you in those things. They've been nailed to the cross. And on in the last part of that second chapter of Colossians, he said, touch not taste not, handle not, which are to perish with their using. And in the 8th chapter of the book of Hebrews, he said they waxed old. Now that that's waxed old is ready to be folded up as a garment and put away. May God bless you.